Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. So we're going to get started right away with our Bible declaration. So if you would stand with me and take your Bible, hold it in your either hand, I don't care, okay? And raise it up towards heaven. But as you're standing up, let me just say this. I believe that the Lord has given me something this morning that will be of benefit to everybody as we look at possibly a new series. But as we look at one of the devil's favorite weapons of warfare, okay? And that's the title of the message today, The Devil's Favorite Weapon of Warfare. All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
And you got to know this morning. I got to hear you this morning. Four people said, okay. I got to hear you this morning because, you know, you have got to believe what you are declaring right now. I mean, it's important, isn't it? Yeah, no, six people said that. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
All right, hold your Bible up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I'm just going to tell you one thing this morning. If you see me shaking, it's not because I'm nervous. For some reason, my back has got me shaking, okay? So if you want to just pray for that, that'd be cool, okay? Okay. You know, the title of this message is Bitten by the Bug, okay? Say, Bitten by the Bug. All right. I don't think any of us get out of bed in the morning and decide, today I'm going to just get offended, okay? I'm going to take major offense at something that somebody says to me or something that somebody says about me. But it happens. Amen? It happens. And unfortunately, it happens probably more frequently than it probably should. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we've all been there. Amen? Somebody says something and it just comes out in a bad way and you're offended, okay? Somebody says something, maybe it's your buddy, or maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's even your bestest of friends, meaning your husband or your wife, and boom, say boom.
Boom.
Boom. You're offended, okay? Now, come on. Have you ever been offended by something your wife has said? I never have. But have you ever been offended by something your husband has said? Amen. What? Say boom.
Boom.
Okay, you're offended and now you've been bitten by the bug, okay? And the thing about this is this. It's so easy to be bitten by the bug. And the person that you spoke to you, the person that spoke to you may not have meant at all anything bad in what they said, no offensive manner whatsoever, but you've taken offense and you've been bitten by the bug. And I use the word bitten because offense acts much like a bite, okay, that a mosquito gives. The mosquito bite. You're all familiar with the mosquito bite, right? You're from Michigan, right? How many of you know that it progresses, okay? The more you itch it, it grows and it swells, and it itches more and more, and then you scratch it more and more, and you can scratch it until it bleeds. And it still itches, right? Right. Okay, offense is really no different than that, okay? The more you think about the offense and the more you roll it around in your mind, eventually you become more deeply infected by the bite of offense. It swells and it becomes bigger. And you start saying things like this, who do they think they are? And come on, how dare they say that? And how dare they do that? What even gives them the right to talk to me like this? And on it goes, and it becomes more itchy and more itchy. And the thing is, the more you scratch it, the more it itches. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. Have you ever noticed when you talk about an offense, it doesn't get better? Come on, people. When you talk about an offense, it doesn't get better, it just gets worse, okay? It doesn't get smaller, it just seems to get larger. So why do you suppose that offense is one of the enemy's favorite resources, if you will, to use against you and I, and why does he use it so often? Because the enemy is the enemy, right? Amen? And the Bible says this in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own resources, or he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he uses the infection that comes from being bitten by the bug of offense because, unfortunately, are you ready for this? This is really profound. You know why he uses it? It works. Yeah, it works. Definitely, it works. You'll find, if you don't already know, that probably one of the easiest things to do or become is to become offended at someone. Now you know this, and I'm just going to say this as kind of a disclaimer. You know, I don't like to give the enemy any credit or power that he doesn't have, and I'm not doing that today. But this is the reason why he uses it, okay? Why he uses this weapon so often is because it just plain works. Why? Why does it work so good? Because offense always punctures our pride, and it always plunders our peace. Every single time. Think about the times that you've been offended. You know what it offends? It offends your pride. It offends who you are. It offends who you think you are. And it takes away your peace. And the thing is, we can't stop offenses from coming. The Bible even says that. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. That's Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. Shout hallelujah. Good. I just want to make sure you're still awake. I got to tell you something that was said to me last week. And this one guy comes up to me and he says, I want you to make me a copy of last week's message. And I said, okay. He goes, I think you were talking to me, but I'm not sure. I fell asleep. Does that mean, is that a compliment? Okay. Luke 17, 1 and 2. Then he, being Jesus, said to the disciples, it is impossible. It's what? It's impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Let me tell you something here. We may not be able to stop offenses from coming to us, but we can stop them from consuming us. Amen? Yes. Now, you got to get that, and please get a hold of that. We might not be able to stop them from coming, but we can stop them from consuming us. Okay. Serena, because you're going to Shiv Shawana, and because I love you more than anything, would you pray for the message?
Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that this is the day that you have made. Father, our hearts rejoice and are glad that we are part of your family. God, I thank you that you have given this word to Pastor Wes and that it will pierce our heart. It will tear down strongholds and bring about wisdom and clarity where there is confusion. God, I thank you that you are going to speak through him and that the word that comes is anointed, because that's what your word says, and that, Father, the anointing breaks off the yokes of bondage that try to hold us captive. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is trying to convey. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Serena. Thank you. You know, in our day to day, okay, opportunities will repeatedly present themselves for us to be bitten by the bug. And they will tempt every single one of us to become embittered and angry and to walk in unforgiveness. In fact, according to the scripture that we just read, Jesus himself told us that it would be impossible, say impossible, that it would be impossible to avoid offenses because they will come. They will be there. Please understand something here, though. Jesus wasn't being the bearer of bad news when he said what he said. okay? Not at all. He was preparing us with the truth and preparing us for the truth, okay, so that we could live free from this ploy of the enemy. And one of the truths that we're taught in the Bible about the truth is found in John 8:32, where it says, "And you shall know the truth," and what? Say the rest of it. "And the truth will set you free. The truth shall make you free." The problem is, we have this idea, this preconceived idea, if you will, that truth is always going to be good news. Yeah, we think it's always going to be good news. But again, the truth is, the truth can sometimes be harder to hear than a lie, because the truth can sometimes be difficult and hurtful. Okay, it can be. But the truth about the truth, now just hold on to this, because I'm going to really talk in circles here. You're going to seem like it. The truth about the truth is this: the truth will always set you free. Absolutely. If it's good news or if it's bad news, it will always set you free. Amen? Amen? Do you believe the word of God this morning? Then you have to believe that the truth will set you free. Amen? So there's one thing we all need to learn, really, right from the get-go, and that's this. It's how to deal with, in a Christ-like way, with people that bring offenses instead of returning the offense or growing our offense by discussing our offense. Are you with me? That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this in Hebrews 12:14-15. He wrote this: "Pursue peace with all people." That can be difficult. Amen? Just be honest with yourself this morning. Pursue peace with all people. There's some people I don't want to have anything to do with peace, okay? I just want to get even. Oh, I'm only one, right? "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." That word "pursue" in this verse is the Greek word "dioko," which means to follow or to pursue or even to hunt. And because the Holy Spirit used this word, he's letting us know that peace isn't always easy to come by. How many of you know that? Sometimes we may have to hunt for it because it can be kind of elusive, okay? And we may even have to pursue it once we find it. And in our relationships with the more difficult people in this life, how many of you know that some people are difficult? I don't know how you can not raise your hand. I can be difficult, okay? So now you know somebody that can be difficult, all right? But because of those people that are just a little bit more difficult to deal with than other people, we may have to aggressively hunt for peace. Verse 14 goes on to say this: "Pursue peace with all people." Wow. I see that word "all" in the Bible sometimes. Sometimes I go, all people? Him? Her? All people? "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." You know, this is one of those verses that really bothered me whenever I read it. Do you have any of those verses that you read? You think probably the Bible would be better maybe if it left that one out? You know I'm kidding. But anyways, it bothered me because it seemed to say this, that if a person passed away or if a person died with any bit of bitterness or any bit of strife in their life, that they wouldn't make it to heaven, right? Because the last few words of the verse says, "without which no one shall see the Lord." But when I began to look into it, now this is really good, so get ready, all right? Get that pencil ready, all right? When I began to research it, I looked up the word "see" that's in the verse, and it turns out that this phrase could be better interpreted considering the definition of just that little word "see" like this: "without which no man shall be admitted into the immediate presence of the Lord." All right? Now that's powerful. That's powerful, and it's a powerful find. You see, this verse isn't really talking about making it to heaven, all right? But rather, it's talking about gaining an entrance into the presence of God in the right here and right now. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in that presence. Amen? Come on, people. I want to walk in that presence. And I'm going to do anything I can do And if it means that I have to throw aside offense in the good way it makes me feel to be offended, come on. If I have to get rid of that, then I'm going to. Are you following me? Are you with me? In other words, if a person knowingly harbors bad attitudes, like strife or unforgiveness in their heart, or an offense, if you will, why do we want to hold on to offenses so bad? Why do we want to repeat them over and over again? Why do we want to tell everybody about the terrible thing that so-and-so said about us? Why is that? Because it feeds your flesh, that's why. Come on. Anyway, if a person knowingly harbors that offense and unforgiveness and strife, those attitudes, they can set up a roadblock that keeps them from experiencing the power and the presence of God in the right here and right now. And you know, as I was growing up Christian, and I did grow up Christian, I grew up in a denominational church, okay? And even though I didn't understand and really grab a hold of the idea that we could walk in the power and the presence of God, once I found that out, I didn't want to walk any differently. Amen? I wanted to walk in the power, definitely, definitely in the power of God. And I wanted to walk in the presence of God so that no matter who I would encounter, they would think and say something like, but there's something different about that West guy. They say that anyway. But I wanted them to notice that there was something different about me, especially now, like when I go to the class reunions. I want them to know that there's something really, really different. I'm not the partier I was, okay? I'm somebody different now. And I want them to be able to see that. I want to walk in the power and the presence of God. So I'm not going to harbor those things in my heart. I'm not going to harbor that unforgiveness or that bitterness or that offense in my heart any longer. And I want to just encourage you to not do that either. Amen? Listen, I know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he's always with us. That's a promise that he has, that he's given to us. But, and I've said this before, but it's our awareness of the Father's presence that falters. Amen? And when we harbor offense, which fosters unforgiveness and bad attitudes, it's then that our awareness of God is so greatly lessened. Are you with me? He's always there, but it's like we don't care or we can't care because all that fills and dominates our mind is a bitter bite of offense. That's all we think about. That's all that dominates every bit of our thinking. All you can think about, all you can talk about is what was said to you. You want your healing from the bite, right? But you keep on scratching it. And your focus is telling people about the bite, instead of about the healing that came after the bite. Can you imagine what life would be like, amen, if you talked only about the healing instead of about the offense? Talk about how powerful God is instead of how powerful the enemy is. Come on, people. It's like this, okay? We can't think of all the promises of God that are in the scriptures that actually set us free when we're in the trap of offense. Why? Because that's not what's dominating our mind, okay? What's dominating our mind is the offense. Hopefully, the Word of God is what's dominating our thought process, right? Right? I think we should be able to say that as Christians. But now the offense is dominating our thought process. And actually now we know why the enemy is so bent on biting us with the bite of offense, because it dominates our thinking instead of what should dominate our thinking, and that's the Word of God. And sometimes you guys would really be interested in knowing the looks I get when I'm up here. I get this one quite often. But other than that one, okay? Sometimes you guys look at me like, what's he talking about? Now, come on. I know we've all been there. I know we've all been there. I mean, if you can't live life without running into offense. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit said that. It's going to happen. And you know, your reaction to that offense is what's going to determine what the outcome is. Amen? But anyway, now we know why he's so bent on doing that, because it distracts us. And seriously, all we think about is that stinking offense. All we think about is who dared say that to us. And please hear this, and please hear me. It's so important. It's just critical that you and I commit ourselves to living free from offense, okay? And I'll tell you what, you've got to do that ahead of time, okay? Before we're faced with the inevitable possibility of becoming bit by the bug, okay? That we make that up in our mind ahead of time. You see, one of the keys to overcoming the challenges that come into our lives, okay? And I learned this early on in my walk with the Lord. When you're faced with a thought that doesn't glorify God, is there anybody here that maybe? One, two, three, four, five of us, all right? When you're faced with a thought that doesn't glorify God, one that comes continuously, and you're tempted to meditate on something that you shouldn't, you have to decide ahead of time on an alternate thought. Now, come on, an alternate scripture. Hello, people. All right? An alternate scripture that counters a current coming thought. Well, what do I mean? I mean, if you aren't prepared for that, you don't do that. Why don't you do that? Because if you're not prepared for it, you're not going to do it because you're not thinking about the right things anymore. You're thinking about the offense. The offense absolutely captivates your mind. For example, when faced with something that was said that offends you, you should have a scripture ready to counterattack the offensive thought that the enemy is trying to insert into your life. Because. If the enemy can consume our minds with an offense, then he controls the battlefield. Come on, people. That's a fact. If he can consume our minds with the offense that he's trying to plant in our minds, then he controls the battlefield. And I don't know about you, I would much rather be in control of the battlefield than my enemy be in control of the battlefield. And I can't speak for you, but I just don't want that. I don't want him to be in control. But I know that we've all faced situations in our lives that greatly challenge us in our commitment to walk free from offense. That comes along almost every day. And again, if I can just say this, you know, probably the person that says those things that offend you, they might not even mean it that way. There's been, I think, one time when Serena has said something that's offended me. She's going to Shipshawana. Hey. But she, you know, when I confront her, when I say, honey, do you know that hurt my feelings? She doesn't even know it. It wasn't meant that way. You know, but I take it that way. And you take it that way. And we all take it that way. But I already said this, and I want you to understand this. I really don't think that anyone ever wakes up and thinks, this morning I fully intend on becoming fully offended. Okay? But offenses have a way of catching us by surprise. Okay? That's why it's so important for you and I to commit ourselves to living free from offense and making the decision before you're faced with the opportunity to become offended. It's so important. And it's that simple. It's that simple. Have a scripture ready. You know, when somebody basically tells you you aren't worth anything, say, I'm a child of God. Hey. Don't tell me that. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Don't tell me that stuff. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, don't tell me I can't do that. All right? All right. All right. But there's another effect that offense has on you once you're bitten by the bug. And that's this. Offense is a stealer of your peace. It steals your peace. And you've got to admit, it's not always easy to maintain peace to maintain peace in your relationships, whether it's family, whether it's friends. It's just not always easy. The fact is, there's going to be times when you're going to have to be the bigger buddy. What does that mean? You're just going to have to take the offense. You're just going to have to take it, or you're not going to maintain that friendship. That's why we're told in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Say that. Bearing with one another in love. Sometimes you got to be the bigger buddy, and you have to bear with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right there. And part two is going to, we're going to talk about peace, all right? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Every single one of us has an opportunity almost daily to take offense at something somebody says. So that means sometime during the rest of today, or maybe tomorrow, you'll have the opportunity to get offended. Why don't you with me, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, why don't you with me make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to live without offense? Amen? Maybe you're somebody that takes offense very, very easily. There are people like that. And that's just the way they are. Maybe you're somebody that doesn't take offense easily, but you'll still have an opportunity to be offended. This morning, as we have our eyes closed, if you're somebody, and you can admit this about yourself, if you're someone who seems to take offense quite easily, why don't you raise your hand? Yeah. It's just easy to take offense. I'm going to pray for you right now, okay? And I'm going to leave it up to you if you want to come up to this altar at the end of church, okay? But I pray, God, for those who are just so easily offended. And I pray, God, that you would give them a supernatural ability to walk with the mind of saying, I'm not going to be offended. Don't matter what that person says. Give them the power to do that. God, that's more power than they know how to do it. That's something that you have to do within them. And Lord, let that be something that is taken care of now and doesn't come back next week or the next week or the next day, but God, that it is taken care of. The fact that they would admit that they're easily offended, God, they're already a long ways towards the goal. And Father, I pray that they would just commit to living free of offense. Free of offense. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand with me? Prayer partners, if you would come up. I forgot to make an announcement at the beginning, and that is there is a worship meeting right after church, right after. Okay. But if there's something that you need prayer for, maybe you feel you need more prayer for this occasion, for this thing today, this subject today of being offended easily, then I encourage you to come up to these that are up here because they'll pray for you, and they won't just pray for you now, they'll pray for you all week, all right? So please take advantage of that. Or maybe there's something that you need prayer for, or somebody you know needs prayer, and that you could stand in the gap for this morning, please come to these prayer partners. And again, they will pray for you and keep on praying. And we thank you for that, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we would just, I pray that this message would be listened to, God, and be taken to heart, because it's out of your word. And the truth always sets us free. And I pray that the truth of your word will set people free today. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I also pray for the ladies that are going to Shipshawana. I pray for safety, Father. I pray that it would go very well, that they'd have a lot of fun, that they would be absolutely protected from anything that the enemy would want to bring their way. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. God, I just pray this morning, God, that we would just be a people that would be hungry for you. God, that it wouldn't just be Sunday morning, that it wouldn't just be on Sundays that our word gets opened up. But Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would be just seeking your face. We'd be knocking, seeking, and finding, God. And I thank you for that. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, which I thank you that has not passed away. I thank you that the gifts are still active. I thank you that healing and things like that still happen today. Thank you, Lord. Now, God, I pray that your presence would just go with every person today as they have a good day. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen and amen.